expect when it was going to a village, you're going to a person's home instead of eating in a restaurant. And I'm sitting there, and the table is about as long as the keyboard and about as wide as what my pulpit is here. So that's as big as the table was with six of us sitting around it. And they got this big old pot they bring in, this purple stuff, and I didn't have a clue what it was. I'm thinking, well, it doesn't smell bad, so I'm good there. And I don't see any little eggs of bugs and stuff, so I'm really good there. And they tell me it's borscht. I said, oh, okay, I've heard of borscht, didn't know what it was. I said, but I'll try it. You know, I'm one of those guys, I'll eat anything once, twice if I like it. And it was very good, actually. Except the host, he thought I ate as much as he did. Apparently he's got it in his mind that all Americans eat insane amounts of food. And he just filled my bowl and filled my bowl. And it's like, then I had a revelation. Bob had warned me that when you go to a home, they eat in courses. Don't fill up on the first course. So I had to stop, and then sure enough, they brought out some more potatoes. Potatoes, they love potatoes. More potatoes and some sort of buttery sauce. And then some more, I would guess they'd be pork tenderloin chops, they were delicious. I don't know how they were seasoned. But I was glad to know that the woman preparing this, she'd got up and left during the service. I was glad to know she was going back to prepare food and not got mad at me. So, man, how is that possible? I've only been in Ukraine once, preached twice, and already got people mad. But she's going back to prepare the food. She did an excellent job. But I will tell you this funny little story about the coffee. Afterwards, we had this cake. It was like kind of like a pumpkin roll, you know, but it was chocolate and all this. And it was really, really good, especially with a cup of coffee. Their coffee, they've got some coffees that they get over there and they make that just spank ours. And I was just like, Bob, he bought a big old shopping cart full. He filled a suitcase full of coffee and brought it back. And I'm like, well, I don't like coffee that much. But it was very good. Anyhow, next time I go, maybe you'll go with me. And you can. Anyhow, I ate my dessert and I'm sitting here drinking my coffee. I'm the only one that had coffee and everybody else had chai, which is tea. And I'm sitting here. I drank my coffee, and it's in a glass cup that is coffee brown. I mean, it looks like coffee itself, you know. I'm sitting here drinking it, and I've got probably about another good swallow in it. And I'm one of those guys, I nurse it. You know, I nurse, like, sometimes I'll nurse my sweet tea, you know, a pop. I'll usually nurse that, you know, whatever. I usually just sit there and take my time drinking it and enjoy it. Well, I'm drinking the coffee and sitting there, and the homeowner, he's sitting here next to me, and he reaches across in front of me, takes my cup, and slowly he pours my coffee out. I'm like, what on earth is he doing? He just spilled my coffee, and it just ran all over the table. I had to jump back to keep it off my clothes. And he's looking, and his wife's looking, and to save face, he starts telling me about the custom of turning your cup upside down when you're done. He said, and he goes on. I think he was still trying to save face a little bit, and you know, telling me that in Ukraine and Russia they only fill their cups half full so that they don't ever have a swallow left. Well, I told him, I said, I wasn't done. I was going to drink that, and his wife, I could see her, you know, the steam just coming off of her head now. And I said, now we got coffee all over the thing. And she's looking, and I said, I said, he did it. You know, and Irina, my interpreter, she translated, the wife, she sends a message back, and he will clean it, was her message back. Oh, but the hospitality was great. I really, really, and I did find something else I liked. It was called a Greek salad. I like their versions of salad better than ours. Ours, you stick a head of lettuce and throw in a few cucumbers and stuff, and you got a salad. Over there, they take about two pieces of lettuce, and it's usually romaine, And then you got cucumbers and peppers and tomatoes and olives and feta cheese. That's a Greek salad. And I'm not one for feta. I didn't know this was feta cheese because most feta cheese that I've smelled over here in my book smells like vomit. Okay, it's got a strong smell. That had none of that. It was delicious. And I told Angela, I said, I'm going to find feta cheese like that. And I will eat feta cheese like that. But I won't eat the feta cheese that I've been forced upon before. But it was delicious. I think I had a Greek salad about every meal. So it was, and they eat their big meal at lunch, by the way. So we're about to do good here. We do that on Sundays as a habit anyhow, or not as a habit, just because that's how it works out. All right, well, let's open our Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 6. Last week, the Lord kept stirring a scripture up in me, and I had no clue why. I didn't know why God gave me this scripture, but I kept hearing it over and over in my spirit. And I said, Lord, there's going to be a message next week. Am I going to do a series? What's going on? And even earlier this morning, as I was pondering, I said, Lord, I've read it. I need to know where to go. What are you trying to tell me here with this scripture? And so as it would turn out, I happened to say, okay, you know what? It was like 7 o'clock this morning. I said, I'm just going to turn the TV on. I think I need a little bit of preaching in me a little bit, get me, fed a little bit. And as I did, I was watching somebody on TV, and he starts teaching on the same subject that I'm about to talk about. And as I only caught part of what he was teaching, but probably 10 minutes. In those 10 minutes, I got exactly what I was supposed to have for this message. So, you never know where God's going to give you the revelation. People say, oh, I got to study for 10 hours. Angela, she came upon the revelation last week. She said, I went to your office and she said, Lord, I need this grace that you give Art. I need this power that you give him in this office, whatever you do in here. She said, I need this. She told me about what happened afterwards in the service and the prayer. God did some things in people. Okay? She found that grace. It's not a grace that sits behind a book 10 hours a day. I don't get it that way. I'm sorry. You might get it. I'm not. I was always one. I learned on the run. You want to teach me how to hunt? Take me hunting. Don't sit me in a classroom and say, okay, this is how you hunt. They didn't teach me how to shoot an M16 by saying, all right, this is an M16. We'll never let you use it, but this is how you would use it if you ever do. No, they said, here's your M16. Love it and live with it. This is the closest thing you'll ever have to a wife. Right, JD? We learn to sleep with that thing. And you talk about uncomfortable. It hogs the bed more than my wife does. No. I had to get right in there. And, yeah. But I learn and I do things differently. And you know what? Angela, I think, found out last week that she and I are one. It's not a matter of sitting down and studying 10 different books on a subject. It's a matter of letting the Holy Spirit speak through you. And so, like I said this morning, this was stirring in me last Sunday. As a matter of fact, Saturday night is when this started stirring in me. I'm like, God, what is Noah finding grace got to do with the price of gas right now? Well, we're going to find out. So turn to Genesis chapter 6. We're going to go to verse 5. We're going to start there and read through 12. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. God had become sorry, possibly in a pitiful way, that he had created man. So much so that he was vexed to his deepest core, his heart. Deep down in his heart, he was sorry he created mankind for what they were doing now. And so he determines he's going to destroy mankind. But see, what people look at this and they say, oh, well, God just looked down and he was mad and he was going to destroy the earth. Listen, destroying those people at that time was more of a mercy sentence than a judgmental sentence. Because you got to understand how violent and how they had turned on each other. The book of Genesis, by the way, folks, if you've not understood some things, the book of Enoch and the book of Genesis. Genesis, Enoch was written before Genesis, and the accounts of Enoch in the beginning match word for Genesis. Okay, it's not because Enoch is older, by the way, in the event you haven't noticed. It's just not been canonized in our Bible. I do, however, reference it because Jude did, Peter did. So why shouldn't I use it as a reference? But anyhow, what you got to understand is what was happening on the earth at that time. The book of Enoch records it. It says that we got to remember about the giants. The Jewish Bible actually records them as titans. Anybody ever seen what a titan looks like? There's a movie out about the titans again. What are titans? They're monstrous beings, giants, things with unmatchable strength on the earth. These were men of renown. This is what Moses particularly is talking about here. But what you've got to understand is these things, these creatures began to, they were part man and part angelic spiritual being. They were both. Now today a lot of scholars, Bible scholars I call, for lack of a better word, they tout that they're Bible scholars. Well, we don't know how angels bred with man. Well, according to ancient history, they were allowed 7 days to have a human body. That's ancient history. The Catholic Church even teaches that. It's ancient history that they were allowed 7 days. If they violated that 7-day period, they were in trouble. They had crossed the line. Okay? So they created these giants, of one of whom descendants was Goliath. Now, did you ever stop and think, how did Goliath get through the flood? The seed for Goliath and his brothers. There was 8 people that made it through. Somebody was carrying the gene. Somebody was a descendant. Was it one of the? It would have had to have been one of the 4 women, more than likely. Because we can trace Noah's genealogy, but the women we can't. And now with modern science, we know that the women can carry genes too. Everybody always thought, well, it was just the man. You got 2 different sets of genes, you bring them together, you're going to create an entirely different thing. And but these things, these giants, they began to turn. They turned on man. Can you imagine the appetite of somebody that big? I mean, my belly's rumbling now. And I ate a little bit ago. Of course, it was strawberry shortcake, but breakfast of champions. My mother-in-law brought some by last night before they had to leave and strawberries to go with it. And I say, good morning breakfast. I said, we had 3 quarts in the refrigerator. I said, I don't feel sorry about using 1/2 quart of strawberries on my breakfast. But anyhow, so they would have had ravenous appetites. And the book of Enoch records that they began to eat everything. They were eating and eating and eating because they just kept multiplying. And eventually they turned against man and began to eat man. And at this point in the book of Enoch, it records that God was sorry he'd ever created it. Okay? Because of the violence. Now technically, if you break it down and look at the word violence, the word violence means lawlessness. Because of the lawlessness. What law did they have to live by? They didn't have a formal law. Not that we're aware of. Even up to this point, Nimrod was not even in existence. And he was the first king that is known in history. So even Nimrod hadn't even set up his kingdom and his rules. It's the same thing Jesus was talking about in Matthew 24, 12. And he said, because of lawlessness in our days, that brother was going to turn against brother and things were going to get bad. The law is love. Even back then, they violated the law of love and they just started turning on each other, killing each other. And in the cases of the giants, you know, do you ever wonder where we got Jack and the Beanstalk and him eating people? I mean, come on, stop and think about it for just a moment. I'm not saying you go get old Greek mythology and all this stuff and throw it in Christianity. I'm saying, listen, there's a little bit of truth in everything. Even Buddha had a little bit of truth. Confucius had a little bit of truth. They're way out of whack, but they had a little bit of truth because that's how they get people. Yeah. A little bit of truth is what gets people. It's the bait. Oh, I got hook, line, and sinker. God wants us to live peacefully among each other. As a military man, I don't want to fight. I want peace. I don't want my sons to have to fight a war. But for the sake of other people, I will. And so ultimately, the earth was filled with this violence. And the Bible even goes on to say that all flesh had become corrupt. It turned on each other. Animal against animal. I do not believe that, first off, everybody touts that in the beginning, God never had the intention for animals to be eaten or to kill. Okay? Then why did he give lions and tigers such teeth and claws? I've never seen a lion or tiger eat meat or eat anything other than meat. Okay? Their entire digestive systems are designed to process hair and bone. So what are you telling me, that on the ark that God suddenly changed them? Why do we have buzzards? Why do we have all this? Because I don't believe animals were supposed to live on forever. Mankind was, but the animals died. They could live to be 100 years. You got turtles that can live to 100 years, 150 years. You've got a lot of lions and stuff. They can go 30, 40. Elephants can go 50 and 60 years. Some of these animals were designed, they can live along for a long time, but not forever, as man was. Because man ate from the tree of life, which continued eternal life in him. It was something, I'd like to really know what God had in that fruit. Because see, you got to understand, if you read in the book of Revelations, it shows up again. We all sit here and think, oh, we're just going to exist on nothing. We won't ever eat again. We won't ever have to eat. Wrong-o. Book of Revelation says that in the New Jerusalem, the tree of life is planted. And we will be able to freely come and go to the tree of life. So, anyhow, I think I've gotten ahead of myself on a couple of points. So, for God to decide at this point to destroy mankind was actually God's mercy for mankind. See, we look at it, well, that's God's judgment. Well, yes, it was judgment coming down because of what was done, but it was also God's mercy to end it, to stop it right then and there. You know, we can look and say, you know, everybody come out jumping out and touting, well, the hurricane that hit, Hurricane Katrina, was God's judgment on mankind in Louisiana for the sin that goes on. Listen, New Orleans isn't any more perverted than New York City. I mean, or Columbus, Ohio. Yeah, have you been down there lately? What it was actually God's mercy. Because there were people trapped. And now because their city was destroyed, they had to leave. And those that refused to leave, well, they experienced what Lot's wife and Lot's son-in-laws. He had other daughters. They refused to leave. They died. They became part of that judgment. But it was God's mercy in there. Man was always thinking, particularly on evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil had been revealed. So man's constantly been thinking. His entire thoughts on what can I do next? You know, what's our world about right now? What can I do next that's more shocking? What can I do next that's more extreme? I'm so sick of the word extreme. Everything's extreme. It's like the 80s. Awesome, man. You don't know what awesome is. God is awesome. Some guy jumping his motorcycle over a set of cars is not awesome. It's cool. But why? Because next week somebody's going to try to outdo him. We're always pushing the envelope. We're constantly thinking, how can we be better? How can we outdo them? How can our church grow faster and be bigger than everybody else's church? I don't really give a rip. I just want to know that you're strong. That when the fires come, you've got what it takes to stand. Because they're going to come. And the Bible says that when it's all burned, all that hay, wood, and stubble is going to burn up. And the only things that's going to stout are those things that are solid, that are stone, that are metal. That's all that's coming out on the other side of it, the things that are rock solid. But back then, they were constantly thinking of greater things to do. I mean, even Nimrod carried it through. He was considered the founder of the Babel of Tau. The Tower of Babel. I will spit it out. They were constantly seeking to do greater things and more extreme things. So what happened here is knowledge got released. It wasn't all good. How many know not all knowledge is good? There's knowledge you're just better off without. There's knowledge I wish I never had. There's knowledge of things that go on in this county I wish I didn't have. There's knowledge of things that go on in the world I wish I didn't have. But they are going on. Now, I can do one of two things with that knowledge. I can either take that knowledge and stand against that knowledge if it is evil, or I can become like those who have that knowledge and see how more extreme I can do it. That's what you can do with the knowledge. And that's what they did with the knowledge. And now, the reason that they were constantly thinking on the evil things was because for us to do good, it means to live a disciplined life. It means thinking about other people. It's actually harder to live good than it is to live like a devil. I heard that. There's a song Steve Taylor did years ago that says, it's harder to believe than not to. I heard somebody in their religious pandemonium life jump up and say, that's a lie. I've got news for you. It's harder to live a good life than it is to just go out and do whatever you want. Because it's easy. That's how I walked away. I said, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. And do whatever I want. Art did whatever Art wanted to do. Art went to the porn shops. Art went to this. Art went to that party. Art did all this. He got drunk here. He got drunk there. He puked here. He puked there. Art did what Art wanted. Art cussed out this person. Art cussed out that person. Art cussed out his gunny. When you're an E2 and you cuss out somebody, it's an E7. No, it's not too smart. But Art did what Art wanted to do. See, it was a lot easier for me to do that. And just like that, it happened. It wasn't a matter of, oh, that was a thing that was been in you for years and years and years, and it just came out. No, for years and years and years and years, I've been stuck in the church. So you're either telling me that the church was evil, pumping me full of evil, or that it's a whole lot easier just to walk away from God and live like the devil, and a lot harder to live for Christ. Because it requires now for me to be disciplined. You know what? Yeah, I know that girl looks pretty on there, but I don't need to be in that room. I don't need to be in there. You know, yeah, I might still like the flavor of that, but I don't need to be drinking that. I don't need to do that. You know why now? It's not because, well it's going to destroy me. It's because I love my wife. I love my family. I love my church. I love other people. I know how it's going to affect them. I won't even be caught in a bar. Why? Because I got to think about how it's going to affect somebody else. You know, Pastor Bob was telling me, since he does so much flying, he says, I'll watch movies on the plane, especially back. Well, nowadays, you get your own little monitor and you can pick what movies you want to watch, which is really cool. But back in the day, you used to watch a movie on a big screen up on a bulkhead. And you listen, everybody watched the same movie, so they had to clean the movies up. And he said, I'd come back and tell somebody I watched such and such a movie, and they're like, Pastor, do you know what's in that movie? Well, I didn't see nothing wrong with it. Pastor, didn't you see this part? Such and such. Well, no, I didn't know that was in there. So he had to start thinking about what movies he was watching. Hey, you know, I'm telling people I'm watching this movie, and 90% of it's about the homosexuals. And, you know, and he's like, I didn't know that. Because what got edited out was all the stuff. So he had to be careful. So we have to. That's why it requires a more disciplined life for us. Now, verse 11. Again, I talked about this, but it describes the earth as being filled with violence. A more accurate definition of that, again, is lawlessness. Jesus talked about that in Matthew 24:12. He said, lawlessness will abound. And again, both instances, we're talking about the law of love. In other words, do unto my neighbor as I'd have my neighbor do unto me. That's the law. You live by it. You want your neighbor to cut down your trees? Go cut his down. I promise you, he'll be able to cut yours down, or he'll cut something. You want to start problems with your neighbor, start doing bad things to him. You need to ask yourself, how would I want to be treated in this? Now, the downside is, you know, most times, and this is the unfortunate thing, Christian neighbors act like unsaved heathens. I expect the world to act like the world. I do not expect somebody who's touting to be a spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christian to act like the world. We're getting to a day and age where that stuff doesn't fly anymore. Now, lawlessness is a result of increased knowledge. Pride is the product of increased knowledge. We no longer care about how we affect people because we have knowledge that we may be right or wrong. Now, let me back that up for you. The Bible says that knowledge puffs up, makes you proud. You know, do you ever run into somebody who's got a head full of knowledge? I promise you, they will have severe issues with pride, whether they recognize it or not. Problem is, most of the time, they don't recognize it. You run into a college professor, you're probably not going to be able to tell them anything. Why? Because I've got the degree. I've got the things hanging on the wall. I've got the little doodads that hang around my neck. See, I don't even know what they're called. Because I never had any. But you'll run into people like that because knowledge increased. What you got to understand is these angels that were down here with the sons of men, they weren't just here just to be taking vacation. Their job here was to teach man. They were supposed to teach man how to farm, how to do this, how to take care of that. They were supposed to be teaching man. But what they did is hey, you know what? That's a good-looking girl. I think we're going to hang out of heaven for a couple more days. You know what I'm saying? Well, they hung out for a while, then they were no longer allowed to come back. But they had all this knowledge. So instead of teaching man the good knowledge, they started teaching man all the bad things too. I asked this question years ago when I started studying about demons. I said, and I started thinking about this because of some things that are coming out in the Greek of what the words actually mean in the Hebrew. See, people just look at the word and they say, well, that's what the word says. How about you look and make sure that's what the Hebrew said? I don't give a rip what the Latin said. I want to know what the Hebrew word said about that. Because what we're finding out is there's a whole story to be told in the Hebrew that is not being told in English. And having experienced this firsthand, not everything translates. I said some things and Irina's looking at me, she's like, she knows English pretty good. How do I tell that? And so I had to try to tell her so she could tell them in their words. Because what I was saying didn't translate. We've done the same thing in a lot of places. So get in there and study the word. But anyhow, what the demons did is certain of these angels were responsible for teaching certain things. They had certain knowledge. Some had knowledge of warfare. Guess what? They started teaching man about how to kill each other, ways to kill the babies. Abortion has been a long thing going, folks. It didn't just start in this century. They would study herbs and stuff to try to, one, to prevent pregnancies, and two, and if you were pregnant, how to force an abortion. They've been doing that since that time. And this is what ticked God off. This is the stuff that triggered God. He's like, I got to put an end to it. And he's going to put an end to it. There's an end coming. It's going to end with Jesus Christ returning and taking his church out. You know, well, I might get, I don't know that you're going to get a second chance in that time. I really don't. So don't go basing what you're believing right now on the fact that Tim LaHaye and Jenkins got together and wrote a book and said, well, you're going to get a second chance coming through the thing. I don't know that. You can't bank on it. You had better be standing. Jesus Christ comes, I'm gone. I don't want to be a second-class Christian. I don't know that. Run to win. Play to win. That's what I told those Ukrainians. I said, I play to win. And I said, I know you're the same way. And they all agreed. They play a game to win. Let's play it to win it. So anyhow, so these people started getting puffed up with knowledge. Where are we at today? 100 years ago, at the turn of the century, they said, there is nothing else that can be invented. Everything that can be invented has been invented. What have we done since then? Well, we created penicillin. We sent a man to the moon. We've got spaceships so far, so stinking far out there that we can't fathom how far they are. The United States is working on an engine that flies at Mach 6. That is 6 times the speed of sound. 6 times faster than you just heard my words. That is fast. And the thing is, they can't take it off from the ground right now. They're having to launch it from another airplane that's already flying at like Mach 2. I mean, stop and think about it. And they said, everything that can be invented, anything that can be done, we've got computers. I was telling them over there, I was telling Irina, I said, man, I wish 20 years ago we'd have had this technology. I said, I'd have saved a lot of money calling my wife. I said, it cost me $2 a minute back then. But I made that call. Now we got cell phones. And when I go back over, I will have a cell phone that can receive a signal there. Because I had to rely on Pastor Bob's cell phone, and then we were in different places and it wouldn't let us do certain things. And but you know, if I just had my own, she could call me, no problem, 20 cents a minute. Internet. He's walking around with his BlackBerry. He's got the internet. We're in a village that doesn't have a McDonald's. And he's got internet. Tell me, what has happened with knowledge? It has increased. But what has happened with pride? It has exploded. It is out of control. Our pride is out of control. We are living basically in the same scenario that Noah was living in. Except in our case, we don't have just one preacher of righteousness. We don't just have one person who knows God, who's walking with God. We all can walk with God. We can all have that power and that victory. Noah was the only one. And Noah found grace. Listen, the word there that they use, I hate it when the Bible does use perfect when it's talking about a man in that sense. Because it's not meaning that he was perfect. The word actually that best describe him would be he had integrity. He messed up. You know how I know it? Go to the other side of the flood. What's the first thing he did? He got drunk. I mean, plastered. He's naked. And I don't think Ham just uncovered him. Bible says that Noah woke up and he knew what his son had done. Well, if you just uncovered him and went and told your brothers, hey, guys, go look at Dad, man. He's plastered. He did something to him. By the way, Ham got cursed. And out of Ham came all the Canaanites, who later the Israelites were to destroy. What happened was God wiped out, started a clean slate with Noah. All that knowledge, now some of it made it through, but not nearly as much as what had happened. You know, folks, there's some things people are still running around the world looking for. Noah's Ark is one of them. Now, years ago, there's a guy, he said he found it. And from the information I've looked at, I believe him. I believe he found it. It's on the mountains in Ararat, but it's not on Mount Ararat. The Bible actually says the ark rested on the mountains of Ararat. Okay, not Mount Ararat itself. They're still looking on Mount Ararat. Well, in Turkey, in the mountain range of Ararat, they have found something, and it is now petrified. They have done ultrasounds and everything on it, and it was wood. And it is the exact size. But you know why they reject it? Because it's not a square box. Now, if you're measuring, anybody knows that when you're measuring something, you go to the farthest point to measure it. And I watched on Discovery Channel, and they proved how the ark could not have been just a rectangular box, a coffin. It would have tumbled. It would have just been rolling over and over and over. What's the point in saving 8 people and 2 of every animal? They're all dead. They said it would have had to have been built like a ship. And this is another thing. I don't believe they didn't know how to build ships. How many hundreds of years? Noah was 500 and he was in the bottom of the lineage. Methuselah had just died. Methuselah died the year of the ark that the flood came. 969. He was a preacher of righteousness. He was a man of God. God let him walk right up until the destruction. You start watching the old patriarchs of our faith, ladies and gentlemen, here today. Oral Roberts will be going home soon. Oh yeah, Oral Roberts did. It's Billy Graham. Billy Graham will be going home soon. You watch some of the patriarchs of faith will be dying and going home. Why? Because God kind of has an MO. This is his mode of operation. He took home the saints before. He took those that preached and were faithful. He took them home. You'll see it happen. Well, of course it's going to happen. Billy Graham's old. You just watch. There'll be some that'll surprise you that'll go home too. I'm not talking about the really young guys. There was one who passed away back in January. Totally surprised everybody. Took him by surprise. Billy Joe Daughtry. But in this ark that they have found in Turkey on the mountains of Ararat, they have found that it was held together with rivets. Now, how does something that was wood that is now petrified be held together with rivets? They didn't build the ships that when they crossed the Atlantic Ocean. Columbus's ship didn't have rivets in it. These had metal rivets. And guess what, folks? They're not just metal. It's only been in the last 10 years that we've even understood what this type of metal is. They scraped a little bit off and they diagnosed it, and guess what? It's titanium. Guess what one of the talents that those angels that were supposed to be teaching had? He taught metallurgy. Yeah. There you go. I can't even say the word. You know what I'm talking about. He taught how to mix metals and how to work metal. So the Iron Age had come long before. Our history proves it. But God said, start over. And everything started over. And then guess what? Nimrod comes along and says, hey, we're going to build this tower because we're all one voice. God says, guess what? I'm going to confound you. Y'all are going to speak in all kinds of different tongues. How'd you like me sitting there talking to your wife while all of a sudden, boop, you know, she's speaking Chinese and you're speaking Russian. How many know that's not good for a relationship? JD and Jenny said, seems to think that might be a good thing. But guess what God did? He started it all over. Because today we have towers. We don't need towers. We've got rockets that can do exactly what he was trying to do. We've got a space station up in space. People are living on it. This thing has totally surpassed anything they could have had. I'm going to tell you right now, the mathematical stuff that people can sit down and figure up, you know, exactly what you got to have and where something's going to fall. I mean, that just blows my mind. I'm like, okay, we're going to cut this tree down. It's going to land right there. Because I'm guessing. Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully it's going to land right there. I've seen guys cut the trees down and it falls the other way on their pickup truck. And now today, as far as our knowledge, where are we at? We can clone animals. We can take an animal and make an exact duplicate. And guess what, folks? They're trying that with human beings. We can sit here and say, well, no, they're not. Yes, they are. And I can about promise you, because I do not trust our government wholly, that we are doing it. I'm not one of those conspiracy theorists. I'm just saying, I still don't trust our government. I got a little bit of Indian in me. We don't trust the government. Yeah, you send us blankets, they got smallpox. Yeah, you give us this land, you find out it's got gold, you kick us to the swamps. When you find gold there, you kick us someplace else. But anyhow, we're doing all that. And you know what concerns me about the whole cloning human beings? See, I believe that the Spirit of God is what gives us life. That His very Spirit, it enters us. And that's why we have that desire to seek God, to go back to God. But what about a being that is created in a jar that has been manipulated by man to be an exact duplicate? It's going to look like you, but it's not going to be you. Where's the spirit come from that's in that thing? You want to know what my thought is? I think a demon. It's my thought. It's just a thought. It's an opinion. I like to make you think about things. Because that's the problem with the church, is we sat around letting people say, well, nope, there was no such thing as dinosaurs. Well, what the heck left this bone? You know? Like, well, that's a ham bone off of something. We can sit here and deny things all we want, and all it proves is we're idiots. Again, the Bible says that all flesh was corrupt, even the animals. Today, listen, folks, I believe back then even those giants were breeding with the animals. That's what I believe. You want to know why? Because because the Bible says that all flesh was corrupt, all flesh, even the animals. But every society has got its own monsters. You got the Minotaur, you got Pan, you got the half man, half horse, half man, half bird, half man, half dog. You following me? Half man, half monkey. We've got all that stuff. The Bible says that God destroyed even the animals. Why would he destroy the animals if they didn't have it already in them? Again, it's another thought, but it makes you think of what was really going on. Because look at all the things we've got. Mermaids, half man, half fish. And by the way, Enoch states that the demons were the spirits of these giants when God had them killed. Everybody's running around, well, demons are angels. No, they're not. The angels are held in Tartarus. 2 Peter confirms that. The book of Enoch confirms that. The book of Enoch says demons are these are the spirits of these giants that were killed. That's why they need a body, because they're half man, half human. If they were just angels, they don't need a body. But if you're half, if you're a part human being, you got to have a body to exist. Again, this wasn't supposed to be a message about demon, demon teaching or whatever. It's just sometimes you can't get away from things to teach it. Because I know you're probably sitting here thinking, okay, my mind is spinning right now. But if you let your mind spin and let it sink in, you'll see that it makes total sense. Sit here and say that an angel can come possess you? Really? If I'm going to be possessed by an angel, I'd rather be Michael or Gabriel, you know, big tough angel. Be my luck, I'd get one of them puny little cherubs that we see on the pictures. You know what? It'll be my luck. I get the cherub that's always the one that they use for peeing in the fountains. Okay, well, now that the message has digressed, let's get to the real point of the message. Verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The actual word in Hebrew is favor. The New Testament word is grace. He found favor in God's eyes. Let me talk to you about what this favor is. In the American Dictionary of the English Language, since this is what we understand, favor is support, defense, vindication, or disposition to aid. God gave Noah power for what he was about to go through. God has given us the same grace, the same power. But God gave Noah power to do what he was about to do. He was going to have to build a boat. I don't think Noah was a shipbuilder. It's been my experience. God actually asks you to do things that you aren't comfortable with, things you haven't done before. Okay? That's what God does. God took fishermen, he took tax collectors, he took carpenters, he took doctors, and he said, now I want you to preach and teach my word. He took them out of their element and said, now this is what I want you to do. So I don't believe that Noah was a shipbuilder by any means. But God gave him that power to do it. You know, God knows everything we're going to go through. And yet he's given us the grace. When we started this church, I had just started a business. And a business that relied solely upon me working every day. And I hadn't only been doing it for not even a year full time. Yeah, it was just a year. It was just over a year. Just over a year full time. And God said, now I want you to start a church. Well, you know the story. I told God no. I told people in Ukraine, I said, that's the worst thing you can tell God. But I was smart enough to say, you know what? Okay, it's your will, not mine, Lord. And as I did it, I found a grace. I found a power to do that and this. And I walked in that. And I taught in that. And the church grew. And we did this and we did that. We tried this, found out it didn't work. We tried that. Maybe it worked. But we kept doing what God told us to do. And we grew in that grace. And then one day the grace lifted. That grace, that power to do both of them lifted off of me. And I continued to do it. And I said, Lord, no, but I like the money coming in from here. I like, you know, I got a little bit of money coming in. My opinion, the church wasn't big enough yet to sustain me and my family. And I said, Lord, I like the money. I like eating. I like feeding my. I like paying my bills on time. I've been on that late fee or on that late deal before. It's not fun. So I kept doing it and kept doing it. I was probably over a year without the grace of God in my life on that. And in that year, my blood pressure went from normal to sky high. And that year, my body started paying the effects with arthritis. In that year, I started losing hair. In that year. But when that year, I said, Lord, I can't do this anymore. And he said, when are you going to listen to me? I said, okay. I said, I told you, Lord, 100 people. 100 people is what it's going to take to pay the church bills and be able to provide my family, for me to provide for my family. He said, you hit 100 the first Sunday. Remember, it was at Christmas. We had 102 people in here. God said, you didn't say it had to sustain it. God's words. I said, you got me. I said, okay, I'll do it. At that point, I made the decision, I'm done. I'm no longer in business, and I was turning people down for 6 months for work. Are you still? Nope, don't do it. Will you do a little on the side? Nope. I still got people in the community that know I'm full-time. Are you still doing any on the side? I mean, pastors that know I don't do it. You still doing a little bit of home improvement? No, I don't do any of that on the side anymore. God provides for me. I do what God says, and He pays my bills. But see, that grace lifted. It was only for a time. Now there's a new grace. It's to be a pastor. I love it. Yeah, sure, you got to deal with people. I had to deal with people there too. You always got to deal with people. There's always going to be somebody out looking to stab you in the back. I just know they're out looking to do it. Take some preventive measures. You know, just like in Ukraine. Luda kept telling me, Pastor, is that your passport and your wallet and your back pockets? I said, yes. She said, we have good pickpockets. I hate keeping my wallet in my front pocket. Passport was one thing, but my wallet, I'm like, man, I really didn't even need it because I always kept my money folded up in another pocket. God gave Noah the favor or grace needed to do what he was about to do. He was about to restart the population of the earth, folks. We just think it was all the three boys. Noah had a little fun on the other side too. Okay? But Noah was taking on a big job. It's 100 years? Something like that. That's how long it took. I don't believe Noah was an animal farmer either. I don't think he was a rancher. Because God said, I'm going to send you the animals. You don't have to worry about anything. I will send them to you. Somebody that works with animals, they know, oh, Lord, I know how to get them. God said, I'm going to send them to you. More than likely, Noah was a farmer of grapes. Because he knew how to do that. Being that's the first thing he did when he got off the boat. God's grace is God's way of empowering us to over any calamity in our lives. That's what grace is, folks. It's God's power. That He's going to be there. He's going to support us. He's going to defend us in any calamity, no matter what's coming your way. I know some of you right in here, right now, have faced some calamities. You know what? God's grace is upon you to get through it. I look back, back in 95, moved up here, man, God's grace was on me. I prayed for those people up here in Ukraine the other day, and I said, I'm going to pray right now that you're going to get jobs that you're not even qualified for. And, you know, some of them were looking at me, and some of them were very excited. And I said, you know why? Because I know my God can do it, because He did it for me. He did. 95, I got a painting job, painting buses at... By the time it all worked out, I think I was close to $30 an hour. Painting buses. Do you want to know what my painting experience went in as? I primed a gas tank in a custom shop. A motorcycle gas tank. That was it. That was my experience. Most of the time I did the window tints and the headliners. But this man, Don Fulmer... He was the general manager. He was sitting there looking in front at the thing, and he's looking down my things, and he was a Vietnam veteran, captain in the Army, and he's looking down through my thing, and he says, you think you can do the job? I said, well, yeah. Well, I'm going to lie to you. You don't think I want this job, man? The most I've ever made so far has been $5 an hour, and you're telling me I'm going to start off at 16? He says, well, you really don't have any experience. You know, and I can just feel, you know, the air going out of my sails. And he says, oh, but heck, you're a Marine. You'll figure it out. And hired me on the spot. No experience. My God can do that. That's grace. God empowered me. Okay, now watch. 9 months later, the factory shut down. I mean, that's it, folks. I just got a check the other day from them to settle up on my for my vacation pay they owed me. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. A whole $9.56. Yeah, we went to Grill and Chill on it. That was out of $232 that they had owed me. That's not even gas money, man. It took me $10 to fill my bike up yesterday. But anyhow, God's grace was on us because we made it through that. We learned. We walked out in faith. I went through several other jobs. Now, you know, whatever reason, I was looking for something close to home, good pay, good benefits. I could be with my family. And I worked at each one of them as best as I could and did what I could. And then I held on to the job that was probably the worst of them all the longest. And out of that, I learned. And out of that, God was able to say, okay, now you're ready to be your own boss. Take you somewhere else for a little bit that has better insurance. It's going to cover that $70,000 bill that's coming your way. That's exactly what happened, folks. The insurance I had at the previous place, I ended up owing the dentist for a cleaning. I'm like, wait a minute, aren't cleanings covered? Oh, not by your insurance, it's not. What'd they pay? $30. I owe you $150 still? Forget this. I'll scrub my teeth with a wire brush. We actually just right down the road here at Cosmo. Started there, insurance picked up. Man, they covered everything. We didn't know, we guessed we were pregnant, but I said, we will not find out until the insurance is full, is covering. And we did that, because that's the law, that's their rule. If you know beforehand, well, we guessed, and sure enough, she was pregnant. And by the time Jesse was born, they handed us one bill that was $70,000. She looked at that and said, we're going to have to sell the house. I said, no, we're not. The insurance is going to pay. And I called the company. They said, oh, yeah, we're just fighting between who, because they switched who was the provider at the time. We're just fighting over who's going to do it. I said, well, one of you do it now, please. Grace is God's ability to, or God's way of empowering you to overcome any calamity. God gave Noah grace to succeed then. He has given us grace to succeed now. Romans 5:20 says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Let's reword that a little bit for you. Where evil abounds, God's grace abounds much more. Noah was in an evil world. Things were bad. The economy was bad. Things were looking bad. You got people hunting you to eat you, okay? This is the life Noah's living in. And God says, not in his word, he says, where there's more evil, there's more grace. And the more evil shows up, the more grace is going to show up. So don't you ever worry about what you're going to get through, because I'm going to be there and I'm going to give you more and more and more. So no matter what you're up against, you've got more coming at you. So don't worry about it. That's what he's saying. You'll get through it. You just got to rely on his power. It's not about us. I couldn't have built a church on my own. Not a clue. And I'm going to tell you right now, 10 years ago, you couldn't have told me I'd be in a former Soviet Union country preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Preaching was the furthest thing from my mind 10 years ago. James 4:6 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We have to remember to keep humble, folks, and that means forgiveness in every area. That means we don't go getting puffed up just because we have a little bit of knowledge. You know, what really sickens me is when you talk to somebody and you can't tell them anything without them correcting you. People like that just drive me nuts. You're talking about something. You say something that you're actually might be a little bit of an expert in, and they will correct you. People try to correct me on the Marine Corps. I'm like, were you in? Did you serve? There are people, now this isn't against any of my Army friends and brothers, but I got people in the Army trying to tell me how the Marine Corps operates. Excuse me? Now my friends here that have been in the Army can tell you right now, the Army does not operate the same way as the Marine Corps. They are two different beasts. We're in there first. It takes a certain bit. Yeah, I was gonna say a certain bit of senility. Wouldn't you agree? Misguided. Okay. Uncle. That's why they call him Uncle Sam's misguided children. But anyhow, humility, being humble. The more humble you are, the more power you will get. People think that, oh, you know, I'm such and such in the church. I don't really give a holy rip who you are in the church. I'm Bishop so and so. So what, Bishop tonight's 12? That's all it means to me, folks. People are touting their positions now. People are touting, well, I've got this, and I've written this book. I've done this, and I've done that. I don't really care what you've done. How about operating in humility and watch what God will do through you? You can do so much by your own. You know that? You really can. People think, well, I can only do anything. Everything I have to do, God has to do it through me first. Listen, you want to go out and help somebody? You can do that on your own. I can take food to somebody right now and feed them on my own. But if I do it through God, I can feed hundreds. Okay? But I'm going to run around touting, well, I did this and I did that. But I'm going to get puffed up in pride. God's going to resist me. And when God resists me, it's kind of like, you know, you see linebackers on a football field. That's resistance. That's what he's talking about. It's like trying to pass electricity through a plastic chair. It ain't happening. He's stopping the power from... I'm trying to give Keith the power, but there's resistance. It ain't going to happen. But with humility, there's nothing there to resist, and God can get the power through to us. And now we're powerful. We're strong again. So no matter what it is you're going through, God can give you. God has already given you the grace. But if you need more, be more humble. Jesus was considered a humble servant. That amazes me so many times. I see, and through different things, I see people who are, I'm going to just bust the chops of preachers. They forget who they are. They think they're here to be served. And we're not. Preachers are put here to serve. They've fallen for the lie that the devil has told the body of Christ since 300 AD. You need this infrastructure. You got to have this. Pastor, you need to have a pastor. Well, you know, I've got Pastor Dosek if I need to talk to somebody. I haven't talked to Pastor Dosek in probably 3 years. It's not because we got anything against each other. He's busy, I'm busy. He's going to Africa. God took me to Europe. Personally, I'd rather go to Europe. I've smelled African food before. It's... Woo-hoo. I worked in a nursing home where there was a lot of Africans, and they actually started making them cook their food outside in a microwave. Even the residents complained. We complained and didn't do no good. And finally, somebody else did, and they said, get it out. Here's a microwave. It's sitting on the back porch. But We all need that power. We all need God's grace. We get it more and more just by being humble and letting God work through us. It's all Noah did. Because I'm going to tell you right now, no matter what it is you're going through, like I said, I'm sitting here and I can look around. I know several people, some things have happened just recently in your lives. I'm going to tell you right now, the only thing you can do is fall back on God's grace. You're not going to get through it on your own. As a matter of fact, you will wind up dependent on medication. You will wind up back on alcohol. You will wind up miserable if you do not fall back on God's grace. If you try to punch through with your knowledge, you're going to find out your knowledge only goes so far. So, will you do me a favor and just fall back on God's grace? Let Him empower you. He'll do it. That's why I've never gone back to alcohol. You know, you only drink really for one purpose, it's to forget. And when you forget that you're going to remember it again in the morning. So you got to drink again. Yeah, you forget for a little while. But then you learn to forgive. And when it comes back up, you learn to forgive. You learn to forgive. You learn to forgive. And you learn to operate in God's grace. And God empowers you to overcome. So why don't you do that instead? Amen? Let's stand. Pat, if you'll go ahead and let the teachers know so they can be wrapping up. We have, those of you who don't remember, we have dinner over in the other building. Things smell wonderful over there. I know some of you won't be able to stay. We wish you well in your endeavors this afternoon. But those of you that can stay, we're going to say the blessing over the food and be here. And we're going to ask that that mothers with small children go first, and then that way they can be sitting down eating. And again, just put what they'll eat on the plates. I know a lot of parents like, you're going to eat this. Listen, you're just wasting the food. And since I'm going last, I'd like to have some, especially some of the desserts. I've learned to eat my desserts first, though. No, but yeah, I had that for breakfast. I got more. Anyhow, so we'll pray and then we'll be dismissed. And again, you're welcome to stay for lunch. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, for your word and how it changes our lives. Father, we thank you for your grace in our lives, Father, for your support, Father, for your vindication, Lord God, that you go before us, Father, you fight the battles, Father, we just have to go through it. And Lord, I thank you right now that you're stirring in each and every one of us, Father, that courage to stand in faith, Father, that courage to forgive and to go on, Father, not to remember those things that are holding us back, Father, for that's all they are chains meant to hold us back and to keep us from progressing. Father, I pray for your wisdom in our lives now. And Lord, I thank you and I praise you for these people. Father, I pray that you bless their businesses. Father, you bless their minds, Lord God, to think on your word, Father, in every decision that they make. And Lord, now I just plead the blood of Jesus over them. Father, I thank you for them. Pray that you bless the work of their hands. And Lord, we thank you for the food we're about to eat. I ask, Father, that you bless it. And bless the time of fellowship there that we'll have as well. In Jesus' name, amen.